Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Macintosh Podcast number 8. It's Mike Arrigo, and it's great to be back with you again. This podcast actually may be the most important Macintosh podcast I have done. And the reason I say that is because we're going to be taking a look at a review of the Macintosh and VoiceOver that was put into the June Braille Monitor, published by the National Federation of the Blind this week. And this review, the best way I can put it is just there is so much misinformation in here and incorrect information that I wanted to devote a podcast to showing you how the Macintosh does the tasks that they're actually talking about and basically showing that most of this information is just wrong. The review was very, very poorly done. It was biased, I think, towards Windows. And when people are depending on this type of these types of reviews to make informed decisions, this kind of information really is a disservice to everyone. So we're going to go through this review, and along the way I'm going to talk about what information is incorrect and demonstrate some things that show why it's incorrect. So that having been said, let's go ahead and get started. I'm sitting on the webpage on the NFB site that contains this review, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading from the top of the article, and I'll comment on some things more than others as needed. And you know, we'll demonstrate things as appropriate. And hopefully by the end of this show, you'll realize how misinformed this reviewer actually is about how the Macintosh works. Supposedly, he only spent a week with the Mac operating system before doing this review, and that's really not enough time to learn a whole new operating system, much less a screen reader. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the top of this webpage here.
Braille Monitor, June 2009.
Okay, and let's go ahead and just move to the next heading on the page here. That's where we'll start this article.
Heading Level 1, two items. Report on the ease of access of the Apple OS 10.5 Leopard environment with VoiceOver. By Wesley Majerus. Wesley Majerus works at the Mac workstation in the International Braille and Technology Center. And from the editor, almost as long as computers have dominated the lives of many Americans, some people have praised the Apple products with a fervor, verging on the religious. The operating system has always been more visually intuitive than that of the PC, and manipulating graphics on Apple products is apparently both easy and satisfying. But since the Apple II in the early days, which seems to have incorporated some speech access, Apple products have been remarkably inaccessible to blind users.
Okay. The Apple II actually did have some speech, and actually even before the IBM, I think. But to say that, aside from that up until now, that Apple computers have been Apple products have been largely inaccessible is actually incorrect. The Macintosh before Mac OS X did have a screen reader available. It wasn't built into the operating system, but it was put out by Berkeley Systems, and it was called Outspoken. And it was actually the first screen reader to work on a graphical user interface. It actually came out in 1989. And, you know, that was really before Windows had become really popular and before any of the Windows screen readers had been developed. So that's actually an incorrect statement. Outspoken is not even mentioned here.
Now, for the first time, the Apple Macintosh operating system has been equipped with VoiceOver, which provides more speech access than blind people have ever had on Apple products. But how good is it? How efficient is the speech? Does the blind user have access to every computer function? International Braille and Technology Center Access Technology Specialist Wesley Majerus set out to put the Mac and VoiceOver through their paces. Here is his report.
Okay. Well, I think it works very well, and if you've listened to my other podcasts, you'll see all the stuff you can actually do with the Mac. But as we go through this review, I'll cover and demonstrate the things that are specifically mentioned, and we'll take it from there.
Apple's Macintosh computer is one of the only systems to have integrated full-function screen access software. Because it is a part of the operating system, it is usable out of the box and on the showroom floor. You can simply walk up to any Macintosh computer running OS 10.5 Leopard and press Command CMD F5 to try out the screen access software. In this article, I outline some of my impressions of VoiceOver after the week-long evaluation I recently undertook. Throughout this document, reference will be made to VO keys or to pressing VO with other keys. These references are to the VoiceOver keys, which are Control plus Option and are held down in conjunction with other keyboard keys to perform tasks specific to the VoiceOver screen access software.
Okay, so there, he even admits it's a week-long evaluation. Well, that's, again, not really enough time to learn an operating system, much less a screen reader. Much more time should have been taken to fully learn how the Mac OS works and how VoiceOver does things before this review was done. That's just not enough time, plain and simple.
As I undertook the evaluation of VoiceOver's usability, I identified several important tasks and uses for the Macintosh. These included sending and receiving email, browsing the web, downloading files, and file management, including moving and deleting files. I also wanted to know whether a user having difficulties could get help from the Mac OS X Help utility. Because creating and editing documents is a central reason to use a computer, I evaluated the TextEdit word processing application. In this article, these tasks will be presented in order of popularity. People are most likely to use their computers for text editing, email management, browsing the web, and file management. These tasks will be described in this article, along with our overall opinions of the Mac experience with VoiceOver.
Well, in a very biased opinion, I think. And as you'll see in the next paragraph, you'll start to see why that is and what actually happens here with this review. And I'll comment on it after we read the next paragraph.
For the most part, line computer users take advantage of the Windows operating system for their computing needs, so they are accustomed to the way the operating system delivers prompts, its keystrokes, and its other characteristics. They are also accustomed to the ways in which Windows-based screen access software delivers information. Because Windows is so entrenched in the blindness community, users need a way to learn a new operating system. The manual that Apple has produced, VoiceOver Getting Started, does not provide this comprehensive introduction. Though it lays out the commands for using VoiceOver, it does not explain how those commands can be used in conjunction with OS X to make a friendlier email count review and creation, yet no explanation of layout or use. It would have been better to have a document that combines VoiceOver commands with those of OS X, so as to promote the use of the operating system first, with VoiceOver acting as its overlay. As an example, many Windows-based screen access software manuals go into limited detail about Windows and the way it works with the screen access software, especially in setting Windows and application-specific preferences to make the screen access software work better with the operating system or the application. This is not done in the VoiceOver manual. In Safari, for example, you can set up the browser so the tab key will move you between elements. This is not the default setting and is not outlined anywhere in the VoiceOver documentation. In addition, the instructions for using Apple Mail do not address how to open or save attachments.
Okay. The first real problem there is they start talking about, you know, the majority of blind people use Windows and the Windows screen readers. Well, whether that's true or not really is irrelevant. Because when learning a new operating system and a new screen reader, you cannot compare it to what you know about Windows. I mean, I've done some comparisons in my other podcasts to make it easier. For example, you know, like the Finder in the Mac is similar to, you know, Windows Explorer in Windows, and the dock on the Macintosh is very similar to the Windows Taskbar or the Quick Launch. And I do that just to make it easier and for conceptual reasons. And there are some similarities even with the VoiceOver, you know, with checkboxes and that type of thing, and buttons and that type of thing. But when going into this, if you're expecting it to behave and work like a Windows screen reader and like Windows, yeah, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to have all kinds of trouble. You can't go into that expecting that, because it doesn't work. It's two separate operating systems, two separate screen readers, and that's a bad way to start off. So when you go into a review like that, the rest of it just erodes. As far as the documentation goes, well, the VoiceOver User's Guide is like 100 pages, I believe, around that. And if you want to read it, which I actually did before I actually even bought a Mac, you can go to apple.com/accessibility. And there are some sections that do talk about specific applications and, you know, performing everyday Macintosh tasks with a voiceover. And then, of course, yes, there is the section on the voiceover keys. As far as them not providing, you know, things you can do in the operating system to make the screen reader work better, well, the main reason for that is because you don't have to. You don't have to make changes to the operating system to use VoiceOver successfully. Now, there are some tweaks you may want to do. If you look at podcast number 7, I covered system preferences and gave some suggestions, but those are by no means required for VoiceOver to function. So to say that you have to have a section in this case for things that you can tweak to make, you know, VoiceOver work better really doesn't apply. Again, that's you're thinking in Windows terms when you say that, because you don't need it. So again, that's one of the big problems with this review, is they're doing the comparison to Windows and Windows screen readers, and that's not a good way to do it. Whether it is the majority operating system or not is irrelevant. It doesn't matter in this case. All right. Well, let's go ahead and continue.
We have a few other concerns in the training and documentation department. The Apple VoiceOver tutorial is easy to use and is straightforward to bring up. We like the fact that this is offered and that it is integrated into the OS. VoiceOver has an audible learning mode, but the sound effects that VoiceOver provides are often faint and difficult to distinguish.
Okay. Well, the sound effects, I've actually turned those off on mine because I don't use them. I know some people do, but if you do have stereo speakers or a headset, you can actually hear the sound effects, and they move from the left speaker to the right speaker, so you can kind of tell where items are on the screen. So that is kind of a nice feature if you want to use that.
Two major problems with OS X and VoiceOver are consistency and disorientation. As you are working with the system, especially after editing in dialogues, you often cannot tell where you are when you are finished. Many Windows screen access software packages signify that a dialog has been closed by telling you the window title that just opened, or saying edit to tell you that you are back in an edit area.
Okay, one thing I have to comment on there, actually a couple of things. Inconsistency with VoiceOver, I would say quite the opposite, because you don't have really special keystrokes that are used with different applications like you do in Windows. And I'll do some Windows comparisons here, but the reason why I'm doing them is to show how consistent VoiceOver actually is. when you know the VoiceOver navigation keys, you can use every application. Now, how is that inconsistency? I would say quite the opposite. VoiceOver is very consistent. You use Control option left, right, up and down to move. And if you use the numpad commander, like I do on my keyboard, you can use the numeric keypad to move around. Control option space to select. Control option shift down arrow to interact with certain items. And control option shift up arrow to stop interacting. If you know those keys, I mean, of course, there's a bunch of other VoiceOver keys you can use. But if you know those, you can successfully use most, if not all, applications on the Mac, just with those keystrokes. Now, how is that inconsistent? Again, I would say quite the opposite. And as far as them saying, you know, again, many Windows screen readers do this, again, they're doing a comparison that they have no business comparing, because it's two different things. But I'll address the issue, though. When they say many Windows screen readers tell you that you've come back to an edit box and that type of thing, the way VoiceOver works is much like how a sighted person would use the computer. It doesn't assume that you automatically want something spoken. If you do, you can request the information and it will be given to you, but it does not automatically assume that, you know, that you want something. Just like a sighted person. If a sighted person wants to find something, what do? They search for it on the screen. That's how it works with VoiceOver. And I think it's a good thing, because the computer is not really deciding what should be spoken. Now, having said that, there are times when that's appropriate, and there are times when, you know, it's good to have as much information as possible. But with this type of operating system, it leaves the decisions in the hands of the end user, which is where it should be, as far as what you want spoken. And I'll show you that after the rest of this paragraph, but let's finish this paragraph first.
They also say menu or leaving menu as you enter and leave the menu. In VoiceOver, if you are completing a task that causes the computer to work on its own without further input from you, VoiceOver provides no automatic progress report to let you know that the computer is still processing. However, if you focus your VoiceOver cursor on the progress bar or other progress notification area, it will audibly click by default whenever this area changes. You can also change a setting in VoiceOver preferences to have changes announced, but it is important to note that your focus must be on the progress bar or other notification area for either of these announcements to occur. VoiceOver has keys that you can use to move through an area. Sometimes in dialog boxes you can tab through controls, but at others you must use the special VO keys. When tabbing, you can often hear the control type, edit field, checkbox, or pop-up button, but do not hear what type of information you are to enter. If you use the VO keys, you hear control labels, but they are separate from the controls and control types. From a keystroke standpoint, this means that, for each control in a dialog box, you have to move to the right twice to get both its label and the control itself. It would be more useful if the information in the labels could be combined with the control types and values, and if you knew when you were required to use VO keys and when you could simply tab.
Okay. Well, regarding how you have to move, you know, through the label and then to the control, well, a lot of times in Windows, you have to do that also, especially on a web page. You know, you'll see, like, in a form, you got, like, first name, and then right below that is the edit box. You know, then you got last name, and then is the edit box below that. So that's actually the same. So for them to say that that's exclusive to the Mac is actually incorrect. Secondly, as far as, you know, you having to use the tab key sometimes and the VoiceOver keys, see, what they don't tell you is, and this is one of the advantages, I think, to VoiceOver, and as far as I know, no Windows screen reader actually does this. When you use the VoiceOver navigation keys, unless you turn this off, which you can do, but the keyboard focus actually follows the VoiceOver cursor. So in a dialog box, you actually move through that with the VoiceOver keys, for example, and when you come to like an edit box, like for a file name or that type of thing, you're in the box ready to type. There's no need to actually find the right spot to click in the edit box or anything like that. And that works in any program, really. Let's actually stop reading for a moment, and I'm going to switch applications here. And actually, let's go into text edit, because I want to show you how VoiceOver actually does the things that they're saying supposedly it doesn't do. Oh, one other thing about the progress indicators. Yes, it reads those if your VoiceOver cursor is sitting on them. Again, that gets back to, it doesn't assume you just automatically want that spoken. You do it like a sighted person. If you want that, you focus on it. And that's what a sighted person would do. All right, let's go ahead and hit Command-Tab here and switch back to the Finder.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
And let's go ahead and open up Text Edit. I'm just going to move down to the dock.
Text Edit.
And press Enter.
Text Edit. Window, untitled. Edit text blank has keyboard focus.
Okay, let's just type in a couple of words here. Yeah, this is a test. That's always good.
T-A-S-S-S-T-E-A-T, period.
And of course we can read the text then.
Test A. This is A. Test. A is.
Okay, now let's go ahead and open up a dialog box. I'll do Command S for the save. To bring up the save dialog.
Save, interact with dialog, save, save as, where, file format.
Okay, so we're in the dialog box, and we could navigate that if we, you know, wanted to. But I'm just going to cancel that with the escape key.
Closing dialog.
Okay, so yeah, we're back in the edit text, and like I said, it doesn't tell you, you know, that, but, you know, you can get that information. It doesn't assume that you automatically want that spoken, but we can certainly get all the information here. We press Control-Option-L for the current line.
This is a test.
Or Control-Option-F2 for the window title.
Window untitled.
There we are. So the information is all there. Again, it just doesn't assume that you automatically want it. Okay. Now, for the progress bar, Let's go ahead and exit out of text edit with Command Q.
Interact with dialogue alert. Do you want to save the changes you made in the document?
No, I don't.
Cancel. Set. Don't save. But closing dialogue finder.
Okay.
Macintosh HD.
For a progress bar, let's go ahead and go to software update in the Apple menu.
Menu bar. Apple app. System. Software update. Ellipsis. Software. Macintosh HD. Selected. Software update. Window. Software update. Checking for 16.5% progress indicator.
Okay. So there we're sitting on that, and I focused on it so we can read that.
23.8% progress indicator is when, in the voiceover cursor.
When you want it. But it doesn't automatically assume that you want that, you know, spoken all the time.
60.2% progress indicator is in the voiceover cursor.
Now, like when it's writing files, like when you're doing an install or something like that, if you keep your voiceover cursor sitting on that, it will actually stutter as it tries.
Your software is up to date. Software update doesn't have any new software for your computer at this time.
Okay, that's okay. Let's just press some...
Quit button has keyboard focus.
Yeah, let's go ahead and
Finder,
get out of there.
Macintosh HD selected.
When you actually are doing an install or something to that effect, it'll continue to say, you know, writing files, if you have your voiceover cursor sitting on that. But if you don't want to hear that, then just move the voiceover cursor away from it, and it will no longer say that. So again, you hear it if you want it. If you don't, you don't have to. It leaves the decision up to the end user, which I think is a good thing. But they, again, they write that as a criticism just because it doesn't work the way Windows does, which I think is just wrong, in my opinion. All right, let's go ahead and go back to the article here and continue.
One other aspect of VoiceOver that is problematic is the lack of toggle keys. In many screen access programs, you can toggle keyboard help on and off by pressing the same key. In VoiceOver, you cannot do this because Control plus Option plus K turns it on, and then you have to turn it off with Escape.
Okay, once again, they put this in many Windows, or they didn't say Windows in this case, but many screen access programs do it this way. They're basically saying many screen access programs do it this way, so VoiceOver should do it that way also, which that's not a fair comparison. I mean, that's just, it isn't. Again, they're going in with this comparing other screen readers, which isn't a good way to do a review, but I wanted to point that out.
This also happens in other places within the VoiceOver environment, such as with scrolling mode. In the event that a password is to be entered, no feedback is given as you enter text into the password field.
Okay, I will agree with them on that one. I do think that there does need to be a way to know what you're typing into a password field if you wish. So I will give them that one. Currently, there is no feedback that is provided in a password box, and that's fine for some people, but there are times actually when I've wanted that. So I will give them that one. That is something that hopefully Apple will add in the future, and it may be in Snow Leopard 10.6, I'm not sure. But, I did want to mention that one.
In instances where you simply use the space bar to check a checkbox, you do not get feedback about whether the checkbox is checked or unchecked. A good example of this is on the SMTP server setup page of Apple Mail. In dialogues containing lists, you have to force VoiceOver to read the highlighted item.
Okay. When you press the space bar, it's true, it doesn't say checked or unchecked. However, if you use the VoiceOver select key, which is VO space, or I've got mine mapped to the numeric keypad numpad 5, it does tell you. So a very simple and easy workaround, it's just a matter of pressing a different key, essentially, for that. So I don't consider that a big deal myself.
VoiceOver does not tell you how many items are in the list.
I don't know if that's actually true or not, that it totally doesn't tell you, because I find that extra information, like 2 of 7 or something like that, I find that to be, you know, just extra information, so that's not even something I use. So it's not critical, you know, that's not a critical thing, I don't think. Again, I think they're thinking, well, the Windows screen readers tell you that, so VoiceOver should also tell you that. But really, knowing how many items are in something, you know, I wonder how much benefit that actually, you know, provides.
When working on the dock, the Mac version of the Windows taskbar, you can use CMD plus right and left arrows to move items around. VoiceOver, however, provides no feedback as you work. Clearly the program should provide some indication that items are being moved and the item's relationship to others on the dock should be described.
Well, as far as moving items, that really offers no benefit for a blind user because you can add items to the dock, and again, that's kind of like the quick launch in that case, and you can type the first couple of letters of the item that you want. So where it's actually at on the dock doesn't really matter. You can arrow, you know, left and right through the items and open the one you want, and you can certainly add and remove items. And again, with the letter navigation, to move items really serves no purpose for a blind user, at least in my view anyway. Okay, let's go ahead and continue here.
Editing text.
Okay, editing text.
One of the primary uses for a computer, especially for new users, is creating, editing, and reading documents. TextEdit is macOS X's primary document management solution. A few tasks are particularly important: opening and navigating pre-existing documents, creating new documents, spell checking documents, changing formatting, and adding elements such as headers, footers, and tables. Opening documents works fairly well using VoiceOver. The only problem arises in dealing with the list of files and locations. Often in VoiceOver, you are forced to interact with an item, which means telling VoiceOver that you want to work with this item, and this item, only in a dialogue. For a long-time screen access software user, this interaction is a new and foreign concept that adds more keystrokes to an already keystroke-intensive system. Also, it is never clear when the user needs to interact with an item and when using arrow keys.
Well, okay, let's stop there a second. Again, they're saying, you know, for a long-time screen access user, you know, this is a new concept. Well, yeah, it's a new concept, but again, you're going in this comparing, you know, it to other screen readers. I'll show you how files are actually opened, and you can see for yourself how difficult it actually is. And as far as, you know, needing to interact, actually, you really don't. Not really. You can with the table of files and that type of thing, but you actually don't have to. And I'll show you that in just a moment. It's not really much different from navigating a save or open dialog box in Windows. And we'll see that in just a moment.
Means of manipulation is sufficient. Once the document is open, you must figure out how to edit it. One of the issues that cause Windows users most trouble is the way VoiceOver reports where the cursor is when arrowing through, backspacing, or forward deleting text. Often, when arrowing across a line of text, VoiceOver repeats characters multiple times and reports an incorrect character into the cursor. When backspacing, it is difficult to know which character is about to be deleted, so sometimes you delete the wrong character. The same problem occurs in forward delete because, instead of removing the character to the right of the cursor, deletion begins with the character into the cursor.
Okay. And we'll go back into TextEdit for a moment here, and I'll show you this. Well, what they're talking about there, actually, has nothing to do with VoiceOver. What it has to do with is the way the Macintosh manipulates text. Let me kind of explain that. It can take a little getting used to, but again, they're saying, well, Windows screen readers have the most trouble because of this. Well, again, what they're essentially saying is, well, it doesn't work the way Windows does, so people are going to have trouble with it. The way the Macintosh works, well, let me kind of explain the way Windows works in this case, and I'll give you the comparison in this case. When you use the left and right arrow keys in Windows, the cursor is always after the character. So if you press the backspace key, that's the character that's going to get deleted. Same thing with words. When you use the Macintosh editing, okay, when you press the left arrow and move through characters, the cursor is placed before the character that's spoken. If you press the right arrow key, the cursor is placed after the character that's spoken. So yes, if you're on the word test, for example, and you press the left arrow key and VoiceOver says T, then your cursor is before the T. If you press the right arrow key, then at that point the cursor would move to the position after the T, right after it. So VoiceOver is not really repeating characters there. It is telling you what character the cursor is actually sitting on. So for them to say that VoiceOver has an issue there actually is incorrect. They're just not used to the way the Macintosh edits text, and again, are thinking it should work the same way Windows does, and it doesn't, so they want to say that it's a problem. Let's go back into TextEdit, and I'll show you that, exactly how it works.
Finder, Mac at TextEdit.
Okay.
TextEdit.
So open this.
Window, untitled, edit text, blank, has keyboard focus.
Okay, let's go ahead and type in the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. That's a common sentence.
T, space, period.
All right. Let's go ahead and I went ahead and moved back to the beginning of the text. So now we're sitting on the first part, I believe, the THE. So I'm just going to move to the right, and you can decide if you think that this reads characters incorrectly as they're saying it does.
T A E spec Q U I C K spec B R O W N spec A O F spec J U M P S.
Sounds correct to me. Okay, now we just pressed the right arrow and it said S, which means the cursor is actually after the S. Now, if we press the left arrow to move back, what it's going to do is actually first moves the cursor back to before the S, so the S would be repeated. Then I'll go ahead and do that for you.
S P M U J space X O F space N W O R B.
Okay, so the cursor is before the B now. So yes, if we were to press the backspace key, the B would not get deleted. The space would, because the cursor is actually before the B, and hence after the space. So the Mac does, you know, do editing slightly differently, and it, you know, it's just different. It's just something you get used to. But once you do, it's no problem. If I wanted to delete the word brown, for example, let's just use the right arrow key.
B R O W N.
Okay, now I'm after the N is where I'm at. So now if I press the backspace,
N W O R B,
I've just deleted that word. So you just need to keep in mind if the cursor is before or after, you know, the character or the word that you're working with. Same thing with words. If we use the option left and right arrow keys, which move by word on the Mac, let me go back to the top of the document actually.
The
now brown, of course, is no longer there, but the same thing applies. If you use option right arrow, your cursor is placed at the end of the word. If you press command left arrow, your cursor is placed before the word. So if you move the cursor to a place right after the word and then you press command left arrow, yeah, that word is going to be repeated because your cursor is moved to before that word. And I'll go ahead and do that here.
The dog.
Oops. It helps if I press the right keystroke here.
The quick fox jumps.
Okay, so I'm after, my cursor is right after the word jumps now. Now, if I press command left arrow, or I'm sorry, option left arrow.
Jumps.
It says jumps again. That word is repeated because the cursor is moved back to the beginning of the word. That has nothing to do with voiceover. That's how the Mac OS edits text. And, you know, so for them to say that that's wrong or a problem is incorrect. It's just different than Windows is all it is. And it just takes a little getting used to, again, as it would learning a new OS and a new screen reader. All right, I'll go ahead and actually, I'm going to keep TextEdit open in this case because there may be some other things we're going to want to do in here. But let's go ahead and switch back to the web page and read the next paragraph. But I did want to show you that and show that editing works. It works fine. You just have to get used to the way the Mac does it. And, you know, don't say something's a voiceover problem when, in fact, it's just that the Mac does stuff differently than Windows does. Actually, before we go back to the web page, I did want to show you something else. When they talk about opening documents, I don't know if I have any actual documents here we could open on this computer, but I'll check. Let me go ahead and close this document with Command
close.
W.
Interact. Do you set? Don't save.
No, I don't want to
closing
save.
Closing dialog.
Okay, let's do Command O to open the file dialog box. And if nothing else, I'll show you how it's navigated, and you can see for yourself that it's actually not difficult at all.
Dialog. Open file table. No selection. Open.
Okay.
Plain text encoding.
Let's go ahead and I'm going to use numpad 7. You could also use control option home to go to the top of this dialog.
Back dimmed button.
And let's just navigate through this.
Forward dimmed button. List mode selected radio button 2 of 3. Column mode radio button 3 of 3. Documents pop-up button.
Okay, documents, that's actually the folder that we were sitting in. And I don't know if there's any files in here or not, but that's basically the equivalent of look-in in Windows. You can switch folders, and I'll even show you that. Let's activate this pop-up button.
Menu checkmark, documents, Mike Arrigo, Command-Shift, H.
That's the home folder.
Checkmark, documents, virtual machines, MP3, downloads, recent places, Mike Arrigo's Mac Mint, Macintosh HD, users.
So you can see there's the Macintosh HD, that's the hard drive, that type of thing. So I don't really want to switch folders at this point. I may need to, though, to find a document, but I'll just hit Escape to close this menu.
Documents. Search text field. Blank.
There's a search text field you can use if you want. And again, as you move the VoiceOver cursor, we're in that box now, ready to type if we would want to.
Progress indicator. Sidebar. Table 1 row selected. Documents.
Okay. They say that the sidebar table. Now, they would say there on that they said you have to interact with that. Actually, you really don't. Again, when you have the cursor tracking on, which is the default, your keyboard focus moves to where the VoiceOver cursor is. So we are sitting on that sidebar table. Now, we could just use the regular arrow keys here.
Expanded. Media. Music. Expanded. Media. Documents.
Now, I don't really have anything in there, but okay, let's go ahead and continue to move with the VoiceOver cursor. Then I just wanted to show you that you don't have to interact with that, though you can. If you press, numpad plus, I'm using the numpad commander.
Interact with sidebar table. Media, expanded, music, level 1, photos, level 1.
Okay. Let's go back up to
music,
where we were.
Media, expanded, 3 items and documents, level 1.
Okay.
Stop interacting.
Now, what they don't tell you also on this review is that by interacting with something too, you can, well, your keyboard focus follows it anyway, but if you were to turn off the cursor tracking, okay, so your keyboard focus does not follow what you're reading with the VoiceOver cursor, when you interact with a table like that, you can read the entire table even beyond what's on the screen. So that's, I think, an advantage to doing that they don't tell you in the review. But let's keep looking at this dialog box with the VoiceOver cursor.
Vertical file table.
Okay. Let's see if we have any files in here.
Collapsed row 1. Name. IJETS. Date modified. Collapsed row 2.
And these are folders.
Name. Roxio converted. Collapsed row 4. Name. Virtual machines. Collapsed row 1. Plain text encoding. Automatic. Pop-up button. Ignore rich text commands. Uncheck checkbox. Cancel button.
Okay. So I don't have any documents at the moment, but you can see how they were to open. We could have just selected that file and opened it, and it just would have worked. Now, that dialog box is not hard to navigate. It's not a whole lot different than navigating Windows open and save dialog boxes if you just take the time to read everything carefully. It's not difficult at all. It's very similar. Okay, I did want to show you that. Let's go ahead and get out of this dialog box.
Open button, cancel button. Press cancel button.
Okay, and now we should be back in our document again. Let's confirm that. Actually, I don't have a document open, so it didn't say anything. Let me actually go back into that save dialog, or that open dialog box, because there is one other thing I wanted to show you. How they said it doesn't read you the checkboxes and that type of thing when they're checked or unchecked. So let's do Command O again, just to
dialog,
go back to that.
Open file.
And I'm going to go right back to that that checkbox again.
Open. Can't ignore rich text commands. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay. Yes, if you press space, it doesn't tell you that, which I do think it should do that, so I'll give them that. I will give them that, though there is an easy workaround. We can find out for sure if it is or not by pressing the command to read what's in the keyboard focus. It's Control Option F4.
Ignore rich text commands. Checked checkbox. Has keyboard focus.
Now we know it's checked, but if you move to a checkbox, whether with the tab or the VoiceOver keys, and you use the VoiceOver select key, it does tell you. So it's checked now. If I press VO space or numpad 5, I've got the same command mapped, it'll say
uncheck, ignore rich text commands, checkbox.
It says uncheck, ignore rich text commands, so we know now it's unchecked, or we press it again with the VoiceOver select command.
Check. Ignore rich text commands. Checkbox.
And it says check.
So by just using that key instead of the space bar, it will always tell you. So though I think it should tell you when you press the space bar, because that is a Mac OS X command, there's a very easy workaround. Just use a different keystroke, and you have the exact same effect. Okay, let's go ahead and close out of this open dialog box. I just wanted to show you that also. I just pressed escape to get out of there. All right, now let's go back to the article.
Sometimes, when you are inserting text into the document, the string drops in at the wrong place because of incorrect character reporting. Save.
Well, again, as I've already demonstrated, it's not incorrect character reporting. It's just understanding how the Mac edits text and manipulates text. Once you understand that, it's not a problem at all.
A document is easy, as is starting a new document from scratch. Two aspects of the voiceover text edit combo that cause difficulty are document navigation and save all capability. There is no quick way to move to the top of a document or to its bottom with a single keystroke.
Not a single keystroke. Actually, well, there is, and they even point this out. You can use Command Up and Command Down arrow, but what you can do is, with a couple of keystrokes, you can interact with the what it calls a scroll area in edit in text edit, and then you press Control Option Shift Home, or in my case, I've got the same keystroke map to Shift 7. That will take you straight to the top of the document. So it's not a single keystroke, but what, two of them? I mean, come on, that's nitpicky. And you can use actually Command Up Arrow to go to the top. That's a Mac OS command.
Provides. Later in our research, we found a new keystroke. In most edit areas, you can use CMD plus up arrow to move to the top of the document, and CMD plus down arrow to move to the bottom. The fact that this is an OS X keystroke further illustrates the need for documentation that includes both OS X keyboard commands and those for the screen access software. VO plus A is the keystroke denoted for say all, which reads the entire document. Unfortunately, no matter where your cursor is in the document, this keystroke starts at the top and reads the entire document unless you are interacting with the scroll area.
Oh, I don't know if that's unfortunate. I think it gives you the best of both worlds. If you want to start at the top, you can use Control Option A, and that's where it will start. But if you want to actually start at a certain spot, it's very easy to do. You interact with the scroll area, and then you simply move your voiceover cursor to where you want to actually start to read, and you do then you do a Control Option A, and it starts. So you have the best of both worlds. You can start at the top without having to move to the top your actual system cursor, or you can start reading at a certain spot. So again, I don't consider that a disadvantage at all. I think you've got the best of both worlds, and I think it's a matter of knowing how it works. That's the key there.
Throughout the operating system, it is necessary to deal with data presented in tables. This is especially true on the internet and in some text documents. VoiceOver's tutorial outlines keystrokes that can read a table by row or column. Unfortunately, this means that the particular column or row is read in its entirety. There seems to be no provision for reading the table cell by cell or to match the data in particular cells to any column or row headers. Reading tables this way can be quite confusing, since making sense of the data in the way it is presented is not straightforward. The functionality to read a table cell by cell reporting column headers has been available in Windows-based screen readers for quite some time and is an important feature, especially in internet applications.
Okay. Well, as far as tables go, there isn't a table navigation mode as far as, again, the way Windows screen readers do it, which, again, they've got no business even comparing this to Windows screen readers in the first place. But since they do, I will comment on it to take it apart. Actually, you don't have to hear the entire row. That's flat out wrong. A good example of this, I demonstrated actually this in one of my podcasts when I did the email client. But let's open up the Macintosh HD, the hard drive. That's a table, and I'm going to basically take what they just said and dismantle it, make it fall apart. Let's do a command tab and go back to, well,
text edit.
Text edit. Let's put text edit aside for a moment. I did type some more text in there too, by the way. The quick brown fox, and now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party, because that'll come in handy in a minute. Well, I had paused the recording to type that, so you wouldn't have to hear that again. But let's go back to Finder.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
That's the hard drive. Let's go ahead and do Command-O to open that.
Open. Window, Macintosh HD, table.
All right. Yes, by default, it does read the entire row to you. I've got it in a list view, by the way, which is essentially a table, as it just indicated. So if we arrow down...
Collapsed, row 1. Name. Applications, selected folder, date modified, June 11th, 2009, 7:55 p.m., size, sort button, folder.
Okay. Oh, and they said, too, that there's no way to tell where the headers are. As you notice, the headers are read just fine. There's an option in the VoiceOver control panel to toggle that. So, no way to read, just one of the columns, huh? Okay, let's go ahead and... interact with this table. Let's say we just wanted the names of these folders and files. We weren't concerned about the date modified or anything like that. Let's go ahead and interact with this table. We can press either numpad plus or control option shift down arrow.
Interact with table unselected collapsed row 1.
Okay.
Name applications selected folder date modified.
Okay, I'm going to hit the control key to stop that. Let's go ahead and move the VoiceOver cursor to the name column.
Date modified name applications collapsed level 0.
Okay. Now that we're interacting with that table, what if we just press the regular up and down arrow keys? Let's see what we get.
Developer group library MP3 system group user guides users group. User guide and system group MP3 library developer applications group.
There we are. We can read just one of the columns. Let's say we wanted
date modified June 11th, 2009, 7:55 p.m. collapsed level 0.
What if we wanted to read just the date modified? Not all that productive, but it proves the point. Let's just use the regular up and down arrow keys now that I've moved the VoiceOver cursor to that column.
May 4th, 2008, 10:39, May 28th, 2009, 11th, May 12th, 2008, 8:22 p.m.
Okay, enough said. Suffice to say, with tables, you can read them just one individual column at a time. You don't have to listen to the whole row, and had they taken the time to really learn how VoiceOver works, they would have seen that. So that's what they've said there is completely and totally incorrect. Okay, let's go ahead and do Command-W to close this window.
Macintosh HD selected.
And let's go ahead and go back to the article again. We've got a good section here coming up about spell checking.
Making a document look professional is an important use of an editing program. This includes adding tab stops, headers, footers, tables, and text attributes to the document. When you are adding tabs by pressing the tab key, VoiceOver will say tab and will let you know where tabs are when you arrow through the document. It provides no indication of how far from the left edge you have moved with each tab as some Windows screen access software programs report.
Okay, once again, they're saying as some Windows screen readers do. So again, you're back to that whole Windows comparison thing again. It will actually tell you where the tab is at, as they have indicated. And if you're reading character by character, it's very easy to tell, you know, where that actually is. So, again, they need to get rid of this whole as some Windows screen readers report. That shouldn't even be in here.
Blind users cannot add tables to a document. The tables dialog, in which you define the rows and columns for each table you want to insert, reads very poorly. Interaction and use of VoiceOver keys does not help remedy this poor reading.
I've actually never used the table insertion in TextEdit, so I'm not sure about that, but let's go take a look. Now, one thing to keep in mind is TextEdit is not Office. Apple has another Office suite that is accessible. It's called iWork, which would be much better suited for that, so I'm wondering if that's even a fair comparison. But I'm actually curious about that. Let's go take a look at the tables dialog. I've never used it because I don't really work with tables much in documents. But now I'm curious and almost considered a challenge. So in this case, I've never seen this dialog either. So you'll kind of just be coming along with me as we look at that. Actually, let's finish this paragraph first, and then we'll do that.
When adding lists and text attributes to the document, you must first select text as you do on Windows. Take care when selecting lines of text, because if you are not at the beginning of a line, using the select line command will select text only from the cursor to the end of the line, and then to that position on the next line. The command VO plus F6 will report the text that has been selected. It would help if this command had a more easy to remember keystroke, but it is good that this function exists. When copying and pasting text, the system does say copied but does not give feedback when the paste keystroke is pressed. When you cut text, the Mac says selection deleted. It should more appropriately say cut, so that the user knows that the text was not just deleted.
Well, actually, that's incorrect too. That the Mac doesn't say paste. At least it does in most places when you paste files. Now, I'm not totally sure about text, but maybe we'll try that too. All right, let's take a look at this table dialog that they say reads so poorly. I'd like to take a look at this and see what they say about that. By the way, as far as that inconsistency about selecting lines, again, that's just how the Mac does things, but there is a voiceover keystroke to actually select the text, and that works very well. So again, learn your stuff, people, before you write reviews on things. All right, let's go back to Text Edit with the Command Tab.
Finder, Text Edit, Window.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure where the table thing is at. Let's take a look and see if we can find it, to find this dialog box. I really want to see how this reads.
Menu bar, Apple.
Actually,
the quick brown font.
Let me get...
New line. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their period.
Let me start a new line. Paragraph here first. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the menu bar.
Menu bar, app text, font, edit, for window. Help, for edit.
Probably under format, I would think. Let's see.
For format, menu, font, submenu, text, submenu, make plain text, command, prevent editing, wrap to page, allow hyphenation, font, submenu. Text, submenu, make plain text, command, shift.
Okay, it's not in this menu,
T.
I don't think. Let's see.
Text, submenu, align left, center, justify, align right, writing direction, submit, show ruler, command, copy ruler, paste ruler, spacing, ellipsis, link, ellipsis, list, ellipsis.
This might be it.
Table, ellipsis.
There we go. Okay, here it is. All right, let's open this dialog box and see what we got.
Window, table, rows, 2, edit text, rows, table, dimmed zoom button, table.
Okay.
Rows.
Rows.
2, edit text.
Okay, I assume that's 2 rows. We could change that if we wanted to.
2, adjuster. Merge cells, dimmed button. Adjuster. Interact with adjuster.
Okay, there's really nothing there.
Stop
that,
interacting.
Okay.
Merge cells, dimmed button, columns. Split cells, dimmed button. 3, edit text.
Okay, so 2 rows, 3 columns.
Adjuster. Nest table button. Alignment. Selected radio button 1 of 4. Radio button 2 of 4.
Okay, I see their point here. This set of radio buttons doesn't seem to read too well unless it's graphical.
Radio button 3 of 4. Radio button 4 of 4. Radio button 1 of 4. Radio button 2 of 4.
Yeah, that is something that could use a bit of work. It does appear. I'll give them this one.
Selected radio button 3 of 4. Radio button 4 of 4. Cell border 1. Edit text. Adjuster. PX. Gray 75. Color well. Cell background. None. Pop white. Dim color well. White. Dim color well. White. Dim color well.
Okay. So, that's that.
White. Dim
now,
color well.
There also seems to be no,
2. Edit text. None. Pop up gray 75.
Okay button or anything
color
unless
well.
You just press enter. So, you could certainly indicate the number of rows and columns, but you would probably have a problem with those radio buttons. So that is something that hopefully they will fix in a future release of that. I think we just press enter probably to get out of here, of this dialog. Let's see.
Paragraph break.
Okay.
PX. Dimmed adjuster. P gray 75. Dim color well.
Okay, I think I do Command W then to close this.
The window, untitled, new line, new line, new line, new line, now
yeah,
is the time.
That's something that, you know, clearly could use a bit of improvement, you know, in actually inserting tables. Now, I don't know whether that actually works better in iWork. I've heard it does. And again, TextEdit is not, you know, designed to be an office suite, per se. But clearly those radio buttons do need to be fixed. So I will give them that one. that's a you know, that's something that could definitely use a bit of improvement. But I wanted to see how that read. Okay, let's go ahead and continue with the article.
Spell checking is another important task in document management. Unfortunately, this is one of the most difficult tasks in the Mac environment.
Okay, that's completely not true. And I'll show you a couple of ways you can spell check after we read this paragraph. That's just downright wrong.
One of the biggest drawbacks to spell checking on the Mac is the lack of a reliable option to check the entire document. In most Windows-based scenarios, a user can choose such a function, and it will prompt at each misspelled word in its own dialog box.
And actually, the Mac does exactly that, as you'll see in a minute. And again, they really shouldn't even be putting in there, Windows does it this way in the first place, but for the sake of it, the Mac actually does just that, and as you'll see in just a minute.
This way, the user can choose suggestions from a list and have them spelled automatically. The spell checker can be instructed to ignore correctly spelled words in a single document or learn words that it has not recognized but that are commonly used. On the Macintosh with TextEdit, the user must deal with each misspelled word individually. CMD moves from word to word. Once landed on a misspelled word, you must use the context menu key VO plus Shift plus M to pick available options. Words that are offered as replacements are not automatically spelled as the user moves through them. This is a drawback, because an extra key must be pressed to make VoiceOver spell the highlighted suggestion.
Once again, it doesn't assume you automatically want that spelled. If you do, you can ask for it. If you don't, move on. It doesn't make assumptions. It leaves it up to the end user. Just because Windows does it that way, it doesn't mean it's necessarily the best way. All right. Let's go ahead and go into spell checking. Actually, you can actually spell check in either way. You can do it the way they're talking about, or you can use a spell check dialog box, and I'll show you both of them. Let's go ahead and go back to TextEdit here.
TextEdit, window.
Okay. Now, they say you can't spell check the entire document. All right, let's see about that. Let's go up to the menu bar.
Menu bar, text, file, edit, undo, type, read, cut, dim, copy, dim.
By the way, one thing I should mention about the spell checker, okay, that is available to any application on the Mac in any edit box, whether you're on the web page or anything like that. It's available, so you don't have to worry about whether a certain application supports spell checking. It's part of the operating system. It's built in. You know how to spell check in one place, you can spell check any place.
Paste, dim, paste, delete, complete, select all, insert, font, spelling and grammar, submenu.
Okay, let's go in there.
Spelling and grammar, submenu, show spelling and grammar, command, colon, check document now, command, semicolon.
There it is. They said the Windows screeners have a way of checking an entire document, so does this. Command semicolon. There it is. Again, had they learned more about how the Mac OS worked, they would have seen that. It's right in the edit menu.
Show check doc check spelling while typing.
I've got that disabled, but
check document now. Command semicolon.
All right. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's press enter here. Actually, I don't have a misspelled word. Let me do that.
New line. The quick brown fox jump. The quick brown.
Brown. Let's do B-R-O-U-N.
Space. F. Space.
So what I'm going to do is
N-W.
I'm going to put U-N there.
U-N-N-N. Space.
There we go. All right. Now let's do command semicolon and spell check this.
Misspelled. Brown. Highlighted.
Brown. Okay, so we can actually go into the, do VO Shift M.
Menu. Brown.
All right, and let's go ahead and
Brown. B. R. O. W. N.
That's what I want. And again, I had to press VOW twice, once to read the word, once to spell it. Again, it doesn't automatically just assume you want that spelled. It leaves it up to you to decide. That's what we want. Press Enter.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. Space. Quick. The brown.
All right, and that should be corrected. Let's go ahead and verify that.
Brown. B. R. O. W. N.
There we go. So you can actually spell check an entire document. Now, what if you want to do it in a dialog box and do suggestions that way. Can you do that? You should be able to do that without a problem. Let me change this word back to B-R-O-U-N again.
And W. W.
Delete that W.
W.
And hit a U there.
U. 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 N.
All right. That is actually command colon to do that. So we do command and then hold the shift key and press the semicolon. That's a Mac OS X command. That's not a voiceover command.
Window, spelling and grammar.
All right. Let's go ahead and read this window.
Brown, edit text.
All right, brown. Let's spell that.
Brown, B-R-O-U-N.
That's the misspelled word. Let's go ahead and navigate the rest of this dialog box.
Ignore button. This word was not found in the spelling dictionary. Text.
Now, not all applications let you do the method, the first method we used, the Control-Option-Shift-M, to do it, but all applications will let you spell check using this dialog box that has an edit box. So again, on the web, any place, even in instant messaging, when you're typing something, you can spell check it using this dialog box with that command. It's a universal Mac OS command.
Learn button, find next button, suggested corrections table.
Okay, suggested corrections. So our focus should be on that now. We should just be able to arrow up and down.
Brown.
Brown. Let's go ahead and spell that. Go ahead and... Now for that, I think we do have to actually...
Interact with suggested corrections table on selected. Brown. Brown. Edit text.
Okay. So let's go ahead and...
Brown. B. R. O. W. N.
Okay, so if you want to spell it, you do have to interact. Otherwise, you can just read it. But anyway, that's the one we want. So let's go ahead and stop interacting with that table. And
stop interact. Change button.
And hit change. We just select that with the voiceover key.
Edit text blank. Insertion at beginning of text.
All right. Now.
Spelling and grammar. Edit text. Ignore.
Okay.
In button.
And the text is blank now because there are no more misspelled words. So, was that difficult to spell check with either one of those methods? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You just have to read everything and ask for what you want. Again, VoiceOver doesn't make assumptions. So, let's just go ahead and do Command W to get out of this spell check window.
The window, untitled. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party.
Oh, and they said before, you know, that it doesn't tell you where you're at when you close a dialog box. There are times when it actually does, as it just did there. So that's another thing that's not completely correct. Sometimes it does, and sometimes you do have to request it. But anyway.
Brown fox, fox jumps, fox brown.
Let's double check and make sure that word was corrected.
Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
There we go. So it does. So, so I'm going to say there, it's like them saying that spell checking is very difficult. No. And that there's no command to check an entire document. Completely wrong on that one. And had they learned more about Mac OS X before doing this review, they would have, and VoiceOver, they would have known that. All right, let's go ahead and go back to the article here. Okay, now we're down to browsing the web. Oh, this one's going to be a whole lot of fun. Considering we've been browsing the web, you know, reading this article, and I've been pressing one key, numpad 6, to move through you know, the paragraphs. So this should be, I'm looking forward to dispelling this part of it quite a bit. All right, here we go.
Safari is the only web browser that works with VoiceOver for browsing the Internet.
Okay, actually that's incorrect. I've never used it. But I've heard several people say that Opera, the newest version of Opera, actually does work also with navigating. So for them to say that Safari is the only one that works is incorrect.
Internet browsing with Safari and VoiceOver presents major problems.
All right. Let's see what kind of problems they say it presents, and we'll deal with them one by one. I love browsing the web on the Mac with VoiceOver. Matter of fact, I do that 9 to 1. I use the Mac for browsing the web as opposed to Windows. So this review, you've probably already been able to see how incorrect this is and how biased it is, but it gets worse.
Two of these issues can be somewhat mitigated by changing some settings. Under the web area of the VoiceOver utility, ensure that Move to It when loading the new web page is enabled.
Actually, with the newest version of Safari, that one doesn't matter because you still have to interact with the HTML content. It's just one extra keystroke. It's no big thing, really.
In the Safari preferences, or to check, press Tab key to move to each item on a web page. This can be found under Advanced Settings.
Actually, for that one, it's good to have that checked. I do. But if you have cursor tracking enabled, which is the default, and you're using the VoiceOver keys, it doesn't really matter because your system focus will track the VoiceOver cursor and you still won't have to use any special keys to go into a forms mode or anything like that. So that key, setting can be helpful, but it's not essential. You can still browse the web just as good without that.
Most screen access software will read a web page when it is fully loaded, but VoiceOver does not do this.
Once again, a comparison. You're saying most screen access software does this, so basically you're saying so VoiceOver should do it too. No. It doesn't assume you automatically want that. You know, you have to ask for what you want. So again, to say that, you know, most screen access software does it so VoiceOver does it too is not a fair comparison.
This is a problem because it is difficult to know when the page is fully loaded and...
No, it isn't. Because when it loads, well, for one thing, it loads so quickly that it's not even really an issue. And I'll show you that with a very large page here in a minute. When it says HTML content, you know it's loaded and you can start to read. So that's not even an issue.
User is often interested in having the screen access software read the page content aloud automatically. If the user wishes to deal with the page in more detail, he or she can stop this reading or wait until it is finished and then explore the page.
Well, this is just me. I don't have even my Windows system set to automatically read a page if given the choice, because usually I don't want to hear, because the top of the page there's a lot of links and that type of thing, and I don't want to hear all of that. So, you know, that's a personal preference. But again, in macOS 10.6, which is going to be coming out in a month or two, you will have that option, I believe, to do that. But with the current one, you know, it doesn't automatically do that, and that doesn't bother me personally, because, you know, again, it's that would be making an assumption that I want something when, in fact, I may not. So that for me is not a big thing. Again, I think they're saying there that because the other screen readers do it, then VoiceOver should do it, and if it doesn't, then that's a bad thing, which just is not a good way to review things. All right, let's keep going here.
Detailed page navigation is extremely cumbersome with VoiceOver. As it is set out of the box, Safari does not use the Tab key to move between links and elements.
Once again, if you're using the VoiceOver keys to navigate, it doesn't matter because your keyboard focus follows it, so it makes no difference, and I'll show you that. Matter of fact, what we may even do is go in, I think we will do this. I'll go in and turn off that feature with the tab. We'll navigate first a website, and then I'll turn that off, and you can see that it doesn't really make a huge difference. They're making a big deal out of nothing.
With this setting changed, you can move between links and form controls on the web page, but at times, you are not interested in just the form controls and links. VoiceOver is also set not to move directly to the HTML content area out of the box. If this setting is not changed, the blind user cannot tell where he or she is positioned or how to get to the page content.
If you learn the operating system and the screen reader, you can, which these people obviously did not do.
Navigation by group is not accessible to blind users because the information is not presented predictably or logically, so testing was done primarily with VoiceOver setting document object model, DOM, navigation mode.
Okay, having said that, I don't use the group mode, but we'll try that and see how that works. I prefer the DOM mode myself, but we'll try that and then see if that's really the case. Somehow I don't think it is because I know a lot of people use it.
If you want to browse the web page and are not interested in just navigating through the controls, the process becomes quite keystroke intensive.
No, it doesn't. Not any more keystroke than in Windows.
First, one begins by interacting with the HTML content area. To read the text, keep hitting VO plus right arrow. This reads the text and stops at any form controls.
Okay. No mention of the numpad commander there. If you have a desktop keyboard, or even if you plug an external keyboard into a laptop, you can use the numpad commander, which means you can navigate by just pressing one key. You don't even have to hold the control option keys down to do that, and that wasn't even mentioned here, which I think is not a good thing.
You must hit VO plus right arrow again to move to and read the link or form control. Repeat these keystrokes until you have the information you want. The process is painstaking, distracting, and cumbersome. Keystrokes are available to move by headings or other page elements, but they are not immediately apparent and had to be pointed out to us.
Had you looked at the voiceover documentation in the back of the manual in Appendix A, all the keystrokes are listed. Had you read that, you would have realized it. All right, let's stop there, and let's go ahead and do a little navigation here. I'm going to open a new window because I want to keep this article open, obviously. So let's just do Command-N here.
Window, top sites, top sites, top sites, top sites.
Yeah, that's a new
menu
version.
Bar.
Safari 4 actually
window,
does that.
Window, check mark, top sites, top sites.
And it shows the top sites. I don't use that feature myself, but some people do like that. Let's go to a nice complicated page here. Let's go to eBay. That's a good one. Let's do that in this new window. So I'm going to do Command-L.
Page address.
And it was trying to auto-complete it for me because I've been there before, but you press Enter.
Top edit text blank.
Okay.
Safari has new window.
It's loaded. The page is done. There's no really, and as far as knowing when the page loads, it's not even an issue. It's done. eBay, when you load it, places you right into a edit box, and VoiceOver realized that. Now, we could tab through this and Shift-Tab because I've got that feature enabled, but usually when you're going to read a page, you're going to use the VoiceOver navigation keys because you want the intervening text also. You don't just want links and controls. I'll just navigate through this with 4 and 6 a little bit.
All categories, pop-up search button, link, advanced search, link, categories, link, buy and sell cars, link, find more of what you love, link, buy and sell cars, trucks, vehicle parts, and accessories.
All right, let's go back to that edit box where we were.
Link, search, all edit text, blank.
All right. I'm going to turn off that preference that they were making such a big issue of about using the tab key.
Menu bar, Apple, check for preference, block preferences, edit text, blank, advanced button. Never use font sizes smaller than uncheck. Press tab to highlight each item on a web page. Check checkbox. Uncheck. Press tab to highlight each item on a web page. Checkbox.
Okay, let's go ahead and do Command W to get out of here. The preferences.
Edit text blank. All categories. Pop up. Edit text blank.
And now that's interesting. The tab key actually still does work here.
All search button.
I may need to actually. I don't know if I need to close the browser to get out of that. But even if it didn't. You could still use the VO keys. In this case, I'm using the numpad commander, so 4 and 6.
Link, advanced search, link, categories, link, buy and sell cars, link, find more of what you love.
And it would still work without a problem. There's, you know, the navigation would still work just fine. That's, you know, that wouldn't even be an issue. That's more of a convenient feature, but it's by no means required. If you know your VoiceOver navigation keys, that wouldn't even be an issue. All right, let's go ahead and switch to group mode. Like I said, I don't use this too much. I use the DOM mode, but let's see if it really is as bad as they say it is. The way group mode works, it divides the page up into different groups of items, and then you interact with those groups to actually see the to see what's inside of them. So in some ways, I guess that could make navigating a little bit faster. To do that, let's open the VoiceOver utility with control option
opening F8. Link, find more of what you love. VoiceOver utility window row 5 row 8 numpad image row 7 visuals row 6 sound in row 5 web in DOM navigation selected radio button 1 of 2 group navigation selected radio button 2 of 2.
There we go.
Navigate images checked checkbox.
All right, let's go ahead and command Q out of here.
Safari window.
And let's go to the top of this window then.
Link, buy, link, sell, link, my eBay, link, community, link, visited link, from collectible, welcome, welcome, sign in, or, contact us, vertical line, site map, group, all category,
okay.
Contact us, vertical line,
you notice it said map, site group. Map, group. Okay, so that's, yeah, the site map, so if we were just to keep going, we would skip all those extra links, but in this case, let's go ahead and interact with that group.
Three items. Interact with group. vertical line, link, contact us, link, sitemap, link, sitemap.
Okay, so that's what's in that group, so not very much. So we'll go ahead and stop interacting with that and let's keep going.
Stop interacting with group, all categories, search, advanced search, group.
Okay, so that's going to be the search group, so let's interact with that.
Four items, interact with group.
And there's four items in this group.
Four items, edit text, blank. All categories, edit text, blank.
And now we're in the edit box.
All categories, pop-up button, search button, link, advanced search.
So that's just the search part of the page. Okay, let's stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with HTML content.
Oops, I went
interact
too far.
With link, find, link, period, link, advtscheade, link. Please review the new eBay user agreement effective on June 14th. Welcome to eBay. eBayisapi.dll, eBayisapi.dll, group.
Okay, that's some unlabeled stuff in there, clearly. Let's just keep going.
Want great buys? Check these out. Shop your favorite categories. Furniture, rugs, carpets, silver, more, paintings, posters, prints, more, feeding gear, nursery, furniture, strollers, more, antiquarian and collectible children's books.
Okay, that's obviously a group. So what you can do there, you kind of get an idea of how the page is visually laid out, actually, is what it does. And then when you want to actually look at a group more, you interact with it.
36 items. Interact with group.
So that group has 36 items, and yeah, it's a bunch of links with categories.
Link, paintings, posters, prints, more. Link, feeding gear, nursery, furniture, strollers, more. Link, antiquarian and collectible children's books, fiction books, non-fiction books, textbooks, education, more. Link, construction, restaurant, and catering, manufacturing, and metalworking, office, more.
Okay, so there we are. So the group mode does work. It's a few more keystrokes, because what it's doing, it's dividing the page up into groups. Now, the advantage of that would be you can move through a page, you know, faster if it's something you're not interested in. You know, you don't have to go through all those links. So I think it's more of a personal preference. You can use group mode or DOM mode. I'm going to go back to the DOM mode because that's the way I prefer it. But I wanted to see if it was usable, and it is. It's a little different than, again, how the Windows screen readers do it. But for them to say that group mode does not work, as you can see here, that's just wrong. It's totally incorrect. So I'm going to go ahead and put these preferences back to where they were in Safari and in VoiceOver.
Menu bar, Apple, check for WebKit preferences, ellipse prep, link, window, advanced button. Never you press tab to highlight each item on a web page, uncheck checkbox, check, press tab to highlight each item on a web page, checkbox. Link, link, construction restaurant, VoiceOver utility, row 2, row 4, row 6, mutes, row 5, group navigation, DOM navigation, selected radio button 1 of 2.
There we go. Okay.
Safari, window, eBay, new and used electronic.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close that window. I think I've, shown that navigating a page, pressing one key to navigate each item, they call that cumbersome and tedious. That is unbelievable, as far as I'm concerned. I think that this proves, though, that the web is quite usable. And if you look at the other podcasts I've done, too, on the web, you'll see that. So that's just totally wrong and totally incorrect. Again, just because it doesn't work the way Windows does, they think it's a bad thing. All right, let's go ahead and close this window.
Cars.
And we'll go ahead and return to the article here.
Because the Mac help system is primarily based on HTML, these concerns also apply to the help viewer application while surfing the...
Well, again, I don't think there is any concern because it's no problem to navigate it. And actually, let's go ahead and look at the help viewer.
Text edit,
finder,
Macintosh,
I'm just going to do a command question mark, which opens up the Mac help, and you can do that with any application.
Mac help. Help viewer, window, Mac help, HTML content, has keyboard focus.
All right, let's interact with that and let's see what we've got.
Interact with HTML content, link, index, Mac help icon, image, heading level 1, Mac help.
I'm just pressing the numpad 6 here to move.
Link, what's new in Leopard? Check out great new features. Link, about the Finder.
Let's just do what's new in Leopard. Let's just go back to that.
Check, link, what's new in Leopard?
Select that.
HTML content.
Interact with that.
Interact, Mac, heading level 1. What's new in Leopard? Leopard is the biggest Mac OS X upgrade ever, featuring more than 300 innovations. Use the links below to explore a few of them. Stax. Desktop place icon image. Unclutter your desktop with Stax. You can create a stack from any files or folders you frequently use and keep the stack in the dock for quick access. Link about Stax.
And that's a link we could select. So it's just like reading a web page. And they call that a major concern. It's very easy. It's not a problem at all, as you can see. It's very usable and quite easy. All right, let's go ahead and close out of the help viewer here.
Button.
Let's see.
Close button.
Yeah, we can
press
that.
Finder.
All right, let's go ahead and go back to the article, the rest of that paragraph. They say something else here, too, that's totally incorrect, which I'll show you.
While surfing the internet, it is necessary at times to download and save files. Though Mac OS X allows file downloads, the process is ambiguous with VoiceOver. When you click the download link, the computer automatically downloads the file and places it in the downloads folder. No indication is given that the download has begun or is complete. This leaves the blind user uncertain where the file has downloaded or the computer is encountering difficulty.
Well, again, the information is there if you know how to get to it. It's there. Let's go download a file. I need a nice large one. Let me think. Ah, I know. Let's go. I did this for the Victor stream demonstration, but let's go ahead and do this. We need a file that's big enough that it'll download slow enough that I can actually show you this. The Mac actually downloads stuff pretty fast, even faster than Windows. Let's open a new window and let's go to the new NLS site, the NLS Bard site with the talking books. Let's do that. And this will also show you again how easy it is to navigate pages and how this, what they're saying about navigating the web being cumbersome is just, it's just rubbish. Okay, let's do Command N to open a new window.
Top window, top sites.
Top. Okay, let's do Command L.
Safari has new EWS.
N
selection, delete S.
B A R D. I think it's NLS B A R D.
Period.
Up C.
Period. Up V.
COV, I think.
Top sites. HTML content. Inter Bard, Braille and audio reading download.
There we go.
Potential users. Access to the Bard website is restricted to eligible readers. You will need a login ID.
No problem.
And password to access it. If you do not have them, review the criteria for participation by reading the link, Bard application instructions, and please log in. Email address. Edit text blank.
Okay, so we're in the box. I'll go ahead and type my email address.
N0@y@catrpet password secure edit text.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and type in my password here. And this is one thing that I do hope they add in the future where you can choose to echo these if you wish to. I understand why they don't, but the choice would be nice. But it's a minor thing. Okay, I've got my password typed.
Login button. Press login button. HTML content.
All right, let's see what we've got here.
Enter heading level 3, recently added books.
I'm just going to try and find something really quickly here to download because I want to get through the rest of this and I want to just show you the download window.
A list of books added in the last 30 days.
Okay. Now, these are actually headings and links, so we'll have to interact with the heading to see the link, or we could just tab
heading,
through it also.
Link, but recently added books.
Okay.
Press recently added books. HTML
go.
Content. Enter displaying items 1 through 100.
Now, I wonder if I can just go right through headings on this and read the titles. I think I can. Let's see.
Heading level 2, June 12, 2009. Heading level 4, Paper Towns. Green, John.
John Green, okay.
Read by Dan John Miller. Young adult. During senior year, Margot, the girl next door, entices Quentin into a night of mischief, and she then disappears. Quentin and classmates Radar, Ben, and Lacey follow the clues Margot left while they worry about her state of mind. Link, download Paper Towns, DB68404. Heading level 4, Empire of Lies. Claven, Andrew. Read by Andrew Claven. Suspense. Midwestern religious conservative Jason Harrow becomes entangled in a dangerous plot after his ex-lover Lauren summons him to New York City. Jason's illegitimate daughter Serena, whom he didn't know about, is involved with terrorists, and Jason begins to doubt his own sanity. Violence, strong language, and descriptions of sex. Commercial audiobook. 2008.
Let's go ahead and let's say we want to download that. So I'll just
link download amp.
Download that. Now what it's going to do here, it's going to open a new window that's called for the downloads, and then it's going to we'll be able to read that. Or we can switch to another window also. So let's go ahead and select that link.
Press download Empire of Lies DB68403. Window, downloads, list, no selection.
Now,
list.
If we interact with that, we can very easily tell what the status is.
Interact to 2.2.2.3.3.3.3.3.
So it's down
3.4.4.4. DB Clayban, Andrew Empire.
So again, it reads that if your voiceover cursor is focused on it, but it doesn't just continuously read that when you're in the window. If you want it, you ask for it. It doesn't just assume that you automatically want to hear that. Now, we can switch to another window. And do something else, and you can always, check that, and when it's done, the list will actually, it'll say dimmed, so it's very easy to tell. Even in Windows, unless you have it set to close the window when it's done, you have to go back and check the window again in Windows to tell when it's, when the file's actually done downloading. So, for them to...
19 megs Andrew,
at this point, and I can switch windows here. There's a couple of ways to do that, but for now, I'll just do the window menu.
Window selection by recently added being items 1 through 100, so DB Clayban.
And now we're back in that
link,
window.
Link, download Empire of Lies, DB68403, heading level 4, impossible.
So, again, for them to say it's very difficult to tell when a file's downloading and that type of thing, no, not at all. You could even set a hotspot in VoiceOver to monitor that window if you really wanted to, though that's probably almost overkill. All right, let's go back to that window and see if it's done. Which, again, you'd have to do anyway.
Menu
if you were in
bar,
Windows, even you'd have to do that.
Window,
to check
menu,
on the
check mark, so report on the ease of access, check, minimize, command, check, downloads.
All right.
List, let's no selection. DB click file icon, but DB click 38, 39, 4, DB click.
Okay, it's at 40 megs, so it's almost done. So, again, I think that totally dispels what they're saying, that it's difficult and cumbersome to monitor a download and that type of thing. You have to, ask for the information, but that's what a sighted user would do. So again, I think that totally proves that what they're saying there is just wrong, to put it bluntly. Just because it's different than Windows a little bit, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
50 DB.
Wow, this is a long file. It's about 50 megs. I may actually keep this one and read it on the Victor stream, which if you check out, I think it's podcast number 6 that I've done, you can find that out. All right, I'm going to pause this until the file is done downloading just to save time here.
6 DB Clayton, Andrew Empire.
Then I'll show you how you can tell that it's done. All right, we're back on the recording here, and wow, that was a pretty good-sized book, 119 megabytes. All right, so we're still in the downloads window, or if we were to switch back to it, it would still be the same. But now if we read this...
Dim group, list, dim group.
And, it's obvious then that there's no status anymore, so it's very obvious that the file is done downloading. So I think that dispels what they're saying here about, that you can't tell when it's done downloading and you can't tell if it's stuck or something like that, because you would be able to. It's very obvious. So, I'm going to go ahead and close this download window and close the NLS window as well.
Close window. Selection by recently added books. Clip window. Report on the ease of access.
And let's go ahead and continue with this article. We're just about done. We need to dispel the email section also. But that should show you, though, that navigating the web really is not near as cumbersome as they say, and it works quite well. I love browsing the web on the Mac. I really do. And downloading files is no problem either. Okay, to save time, I actually skipped the intro paragraph for the mail, but let's get to the part where they really say there's a problem, and then we'll look at how to actually do this. So here we go with the paragraph on mail.
We found a few problems with receiving mail as well. In each message, VoiceOver reads a long text string, including the words unread, body, subject, and sender. If a field is blank, the title is still read followed by the word blank. Though all of this information is helpful, it could be more concise. Unread, John Smith, subject, today's meeting, for example.
Well, again, you don't have to hear that long string if you do the table method and interact with that the way I showed you on the Finder windows. Then you don't have to hear that those long strings. So that's an easy workaround for that issue. Again, if you know your screen reader and know how the Mac works.
Empty field headings and the word blank do not need to be read as VoiceOver now does. VoiceOver should also be reporting the presence of attachments as the user looks through the message list.
I'll give them that. If there's a way to know right off the bat if a message has an attachment, I haven't found a way to do that. That might be nice, though I don't consider that myself to be critical. You can certainly find out if it has one when you open it. So that's not a problem at all, once you open the message. So it might be nice to know that. I'll give that as a suggestion, but it's not a major thing.
Example, attachment John Smith, subject meeting. If a message does have an attachment, it is difficult to figure out how to save it to the computer.
That's just flat out wrong. I mean, that statement is about as wrong as you can get. And I'll show you that, how to save it. It's very easy. That's just wrong. Totally incorrect.
The VoiceOver Getting Started Manual does not explain how to deal with message attachments. A detailed explanation of saving and opening attached files should be added to the manual. In addition, the Quick Look panel, which presumably allows one to preview an attachment, did not read with VoiceOver.
I'll give them that. The Quick Look panel, that would be nice if they could fix that. That part doesn't seem to read, so I will give them that particular part.
If you are using mail with multiple accounts, it is extremely difficult to know that mail has been successfully received, and into which mailbox new mail has arrived.
I don't use multiple accounts, so I can't say on that part. But I only use one. But I believe with most email clients, even Outlook Express and Windows, it still all goes to your inbox, I believe. Again, I don't use multiple accounts, but I believe that is how it works. All right, let's go in. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to send myself a message, okay, and attach a file to it, an MP3 file. That's the best way to do this. And then I'm going to retrieve my mail, and I'm going to show you how attachments are saved. I don't know if they say that attaching files are hard, too, but it isn't. Let's Command-Tab here back to the
Finder, text edit,
down to
running.
The dock, and let's go to Mail.
Mail, Finder, Macintosh, Mail, Window, Inbox. Messages table has keyboard focus.
Okay, let's do Command N for a new message.
To window, new message, to edit text.
And I'm just going to send it to myself.
N0OFY@CAOTEOPERET.
Okay, we could use the VoiceOver keys to navigate to the right. Actually, I'll do that in this case. We could tab here, but I just want to show you that if you were to use your reading cursor on a Windows screen reader, your focus would still be left in the to field unless you actually clicked on the CC or subject field. Not with this. Let's use a numpad 6 to go to the right.
CC, edit text, insertion at beginning of text.
Yeah, you use two keystrokes because the label actually appears next to the control, not as part of it. So that's why you use two separate keystrokes. Again, it's giving you exactly what a sighted user would see, which is what that's the job of a screen reader, is to make the computer accessible, not to necessarily automate a bunch of things that don't have to be. Okay, let's keep going.
Customized header, menu button, subject, edit text.
All right, so there, let's just put test.
T-E-S-T, edit text, insertion at beginning of text.
And now we're in the message body. We can just type
period.
This is a test with an attachment. We could spell check that too if we wanted to, the same way we did in text edit. Okay, I can't remember the actual command to do a file attachment. I think it's command something A. So let's just go to the menu bar under the file menu.
And menu bar, file,
select the file menu.
New to did, new view, open message, close, save as state, attach file, ellipsis, command shift. A.
Command Shift A is the command. It says ellipsis, so it's going to open a dialog box. So let's do that.
Interact with dialog. Open.
Okay, let's go ahead and
back dim button.
Well, we're already at the top of it. Okay, Now, we've got a couple of different, you know, panels here to navigate, but again, it's very similar to navigating the Windows, you know, open or save dialog boxes.
Forward, dim, list mode, selected radio button 2 of 3.
You can actually change how it views. List mode seems to be the easiest. I haven't actually experimented with the other ones. I may do that. But list mode definitely works very well.
Column mode, radio MP3, pop-up.
Okay, I'm already in the folder because I was kind of experimenting with this earlier. But let's say we wanted to change folders. Actually, I'll tell you what we'll do. Rather than using a MP3, let's go ahead and attach the VoiceOver User's Guide PDF file to this message. So this first option here controls your navigation as far as your folder. So let's go ahead and select this.
Menu checkmark, MP3, Macintosh HD. Check virtual machine, MP3.
Okay, I'm just showing you how this reads.
Check Macintosh, Mike Arrigo's Mac recent downloads, MP3. Virtual machine, Mike Arrigo's Mac Mini.
I think this is actually like a recent list, actually, is what this is. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Let's actually skip that, because let's say you didn't have that. Although you could certainly
MP3.
Get to that quite easily.
Search text field, blank. Progress index, sidebar, table, no selection.
Okay, if we're on the sidebar.
Expanded, devices, Macintosh HD.
Okay, Macintosh
iDisk,
HD, and that's what we want. So let's go ahead and stop interacting with that.
Vertical splitter, file, table.
Okay, now.
Collapsed, row 1, name, applications.
So yeah, that first one, that pop-up button, that was like a recently visited thing, I think. So we are now, we selected from that sidebar table, we selected Macintosh HD. We didn't even interact with that. We could have, but there's no reason to. So we selected the hard drive there. Now we're on the list of folders on the hard drive. Let's go down to User's Guide.
Collapsed, row 4, name, MP3, collapsed, row 5, name, system, row 6, name, user guides, and information, date modified,
money,
collapsed, row
and
6.
Let's go ahead and
name, user, collapsed, row 7, name, users, row 6, name, user guides, and information, the closing dialog. This is a test with an attachment.
I hit the wrong key. Let's try that again. Let's go back to the attachments.
Attach. Interact with dialog. Open.
Okay.
For lit column mode radio doc pro side vertical split file table.
Okay.
Row 1. Name acknowledgments.rtf dic collapsed. Row 2. Name applications date modified. Sunnet collapsed. Collapsed.
Okay.
Row
so
six.
We'll go down here.
Name license.app date modified Thursday.
Okay.
November.
I skipped the sidebar table and maybe I shouldn't have done that. Let me see where I'm at.
Sidebar table.
That was my fault because I
interact with Macintosh HD.
That's what we want. Okay, I didn't select that, so that was my fault. I skipped something there. Okay, now let's go ahead. And
file table collapsed row 1 name application collapsed row 6 name user guides and information date modified month send Windows friendly attachments
okay,
check checkbox.
Okay, I actually paused the recording because there was something interesting happening here and I figured out what it was. See, this was actually a learning experience for me just now, and I'm not going to I thought about taking this out of the recording, but I'm not going to, because I actually just learned something, and this is why it's important to learn your operating system and know how it works. Okay, what happened was I wasn't able to expand that user's guide folder and get to the files in it, and I couldn't figure out why. So what I did is I went and looked at it. What that actually is an alias. An alias is the equivalent of like a shortcut or something like that that points to a different folder. And I had to figure out where that folder actually was to go find the files with mail to attach that the VoiceOver User's Guide. So that's what I was doing there. So I actually learned something new. I didn't know that User's Guide in the Macintosh hard drive was an alias. And that's why you have to, and I'm going to keep that in there to illustrate the importance of actually learning and taking the time to learn your OS and how things are arranged instead of just assuming that, well, it's a problem and it doesn't work right. So now that I know where the actual location is of these files, we can go ahead and
mail
and do the attachment.
Window, inbox,
so
messages, table.
You know, but I kept that in there so you can kind of see that point that it's, you know, not the same as Windows. It's, you know, and I'm still learning some things, and that was one of them. All right, so we're back in the mail window now. Let's do Command N and send
window,
this message.
New message N 0.
Type my email address.
@y@cc subject edit text insertion at beginning of text.
And the subject is
@t.
Test.
Edit text.
And I'll
insertion
just type,
at
this
space
is
space
a
T E S space period.
This is a test message with an attachment. Okay, now I know what the command is to attach a file. It's Command Shift A. So we'll hit that.
Interact with dialog. Open.
Okay, and let's go down to the Macintosh hard drive.
Forward list column mode documentation. Pop up, search, progress indicate, sidebar, table, no selection, expanded, devices, Macintosh HD.
There we go. And let's go ahead and, that's kind of like the look-in, the equivalent of Windows. That other pop-up button was definitely a recent items list, which actually Windows also has. And again, I'm kind of doing comparisons here, not to show how bad this is, but just to show you that once you know the OS and just understand how it does things, you know, you can accomplish the same tasks. So my goal for comparison is actually the opposite of theirs when they did this article. Okay, the hard drive is selected. Let's move down to the
vertical file table
to the list of
collapse
things. Okay,
row one.
Where
name.
This folder is actually located and where that alias pointed to, it's under library, which is kind of, that's where all the application support goes to. And each user's account also has a library folder. But this is the main one that's in the hard drive. You could almost think of this as kind of the equivalent of the all users folder in Windows, if that'll help you. Again, as long as you understand that there are some differences and it's not identical, which I think most of you understand that. That's my whole point of doing this podcast, is to, you know, show that you can accomplish the same things, and though there are some similarities, you can't really compare them and assume that because it doesn't work the same that it's a bad thing. So anyway, let's go down to the library folder.
Collapsed. Row 3. Name. Library. Date
and
modified.
And expand that.
47 rows added.
Okay, now I want to get to the folder called documentation, and you can type the first couple of letters to get there.
Collapsed. Row 14. Collapsed. Row 14. Name. Documentation. Date modified.
There we go. Let's expand that with the right arrow. You can almost think
seven
of this as
rows.
You can almost think of this as kind of like a tree view, if that'll help you. Again, just for comparison, and as long as you understand that there are differences.
Collapsed. Row 22. Collapsed. Row 20. Name. License.app. Collapsed. Row 19.
All right. Let's
name,
find.
iPod. Date modified. When collapsed. Row 18.
The
name. Help. Date modified. Wednesday. June. Row 15.
Let's see, where am I here?
Name. Acknowledgements.rtf. Date. Row 15.
Oh, okay. I see.
Name. Acknowledgements.
Now we have to get down to the user's guide folder. We're in the documentation now. So again, let's just type US.
Collapsed. Row 21. Name. User guides and information.
There we go.
Date
let's
modified.
Expand
seven
that.
Rows added. Row 26. Name. Mac Mini. Row 27. Name. Voiceover underline getting underline started underline leopard underline 10.58.pdf.
There we go. And there's the file. So we had to go through a couple of nested folders because it was under library, documentation, user's guides. That's where it's actually stored. And that's probably why they put the user's guide alias right in the hard drive. Though I may actually delete that alias out of there because that can be a little bit misleading. I may take that out. But for now, the file is selected. Let's go ahead and move down to the
send Windows-friendly attachments checkbox.
Send Windows-friendly attachments. I'm not exactly sure what that checkbox does, though it must relate to how it encodes it, I guess. Okay.
Cancel. Choose file button.
Choose file is what we want. Let's select it.
Press. Choose dial. Closing dialog.
All right. And
test. Subject. This is a test message with an attachment. Edit text. Insertion
at
beginning of text.
In the message. All right. Let's send this with Command Shift D, and it should be on its way.
Messages table. No selection. Messages table.
And we'll know in a second because we'll hear the sound.
Yeah.
there we go. All right, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and retrieve my email, and then I'll show you how you can avoid hearing all that long extra text that they were talking about in the article, and how easy it is to actually save attachments. You'll actually find that saving attachments is actually quite a bit easier than attaching a file. So I'm going to pause this while I retrieve my mail. Okay, I just did a Command-Shift-N there to retrieve all the new mail. Let's see how many messages I've got here.
Window, inbox, 35 messages.
35 messages. Okay, let's just zap to the top.
Row 35. Row 34.
We'll interact with
status.
That table.
Interact
just,
with unread.
Zap to the top. There we go. Now.
Unread image.
Again, if we don't want to hear all of that extra, you know, verbiage, the subject is the main thing we're interested in with email. So if we just, now that we're interacting with that table, if we just move the voiceover cursor to the subject
from subject
field,
V71, and talks.
And now if we just arrow down through this.
Regarding talks upgrading my phone, tech clearing old messages from Adium, tech E71 with mobile speak, text.
There we go. So we can just hear the subject. So you don't have to hear that long verbiage if you don't want to. But again, if you do, you can stop interacting with this table and just arrow through it and hear all of the information. So it puts the decision in the hands of the end user. All right, let's go back down to the last message, which is probably going to be the one that I sent to myself.
Date received. Today 11. Subject. Test.
There it is. So let's go ahead and open that. Press enter.
Window. Test. This is a test message with an attachment. Text.
Okay. And if we wanted to read that word by word, we can do that.
Interact with scroll area. This is a test message.
And by the way, in mail also, you have the commands available to move like to the next link and heading. So if there are links in an email message, getting to those and selecting them is no problem at all. All right, let's stop interacting with the scroll area because that's where the text is at. Now, they say it's hard to know if a message has an attachment.
Stop interacting with message content
let's
scroll area.
Let's see about that. Let's go to the top.
Toolbar. Message content scroll area. Message toolbar. Toolbar button. Test inbox. Zoom button, minimize button, toolbar button, toolbar.
I wonder if this
message content scroll area
did attach.
Junk dim button, reply print button. From
actually, let me get rid of this toolbar.
Menu bar, view, customize tool check mark. Use small mailbox. Cut high toolbar.
Let's do that.
Show
for
toolbar.
Now.
From sub micariga toggle attachments view collapse disclosure triangle.
Okay. So, if the toolbar is there, it doesn't show it to you because there is an option to save attachments on that toolbar. So, I went ahead and removed the toolbar from the screen. Now, let's go ahead and look at this.
One attachment, 2.0 megabytes.
And there we are.
Save pop-up button.
There we are. There's the save. So, if you just use your voiceover cursor and read the window, you'll know that there is an... that there is an attachment. It's not a problem. So let's go ahead and select this.
Press save menu. Save all ellipsis. Voiceover underline getting underline. Started underline leopard underline 10.5a.pdf.
There we are. I'm not going to do save all. There's only one attachment here, but you could do that if you wanted to, if you had more than one attachment in the message. Press enter to select this.
To interact with dialog. Save.
And now
save.
We're in the save as window. So let's go ahead again and read through this.
Save as. Voiceover underline getting underline started underline leopard underline 10.5a.pdf edit text.
There's the edit box if you wanted to change the file name. And again, you're in the box ready to type if you wanted to do that. I'll leave the name as it is.
Disclosure checked checkbox. Back dim button forward list mode selected radio button 2 of 3 column mode downloads pop-up button.
So downloads is where it defaults to. And that's usually where you're going to want to put it, but you can change it.
Search tech progress in sidebar table, no selection.
I'll go ahead and leave it at downloads. That's going to be the default, and that's going to probably be where you want to save it. But again, if you use the sidebar and...
Vertical file table.
You know, the file lists, you can save that to any place you want to. So let's keep going here.
New folder button.
We can create a new folder if we want to.
Cancel but save button.
Select save.
Press save. Dial closing dialog.
And there we are. Now let's see if the file, the attachment is saved in our downloads folder. Let's go ahead and do Command W here to get out of the message.
Messages table.
Okay. And let's go ahead and go back to the Finder.
Finder. Finder.
Now we'll open the home folder with the
Command-Shift-HD.
Command-Shift-H opens the home folder. If this will help you, again, I'll do a comparison in Windows. The closest thing is it would be like Documents and Settings / your name. That's what this is very similar to in a lot of ways.
Window, Mike Arrigo, table.
And let's just do DOW to go to the Downloads folder.
Collapsed, row 3. Name, Downloads, select
open
in this window.
And I think the book I downloaded too is probably still in here.
Row 1. Name, D.B. Clavin, Andrew Empire.
There's the one we downloaded previously in row 2.
Row 2. Name, VoiceOver underline, getting, underline, started, underline, leopard, underline.
And there it is. I won't read the whole name. So they say that saving attachments is extremely difficult. I think just by us doing that, it spoke for itself. And again, to attach a file wasn't hard either. I actually learned something new with that about that alias in there. And, that's why I couldn't expand the folder. So again, it really helps to just learn your operating system, learn your screen reader. It's not difficult at all if you take the time to learn it and just read everything carefully that VoiceOver, the information that it provides you. All right, let's close this.
Macintosh
and
HD.
Let's see if there's anything else in this article to cover before I give you my final comments. Yes, actually there's another section dealing with files. Let's take a look at this.
It is important to manage efficiently the many files that fill a computer system. This is doable with the Mac, but we have a few concerns. A user must be able to manipulate the table containing the list of files, but doing so adds extra keystrokes.
Not really. Again, if you use the interact key and then you put the VoiceOver cursor on the column that you want to hear, which is usually going to be the file name probably, it's not a problem, as I've already shown you.
The Mac reports that a file has been copied when you press the copy command. Then, when you move to the receiving folder to paste the file there, you get auditory feedback that a transfer has taken place, but only by a faint sound, no verbal confirmation.
Well, the item, okay, it says paste, and I don't have a long item to copy here, but if it's a very long item, again, if you read the window with the VoiceOver cursor, it tells you the progress, and it does tell you how much time is remaining. So again, they don't know their operating system and their screen reader enough. Otherwise, they would have known, you can get that information. Just put your VoiceOver cursor on that item if you want to hear it continuously. So that's actually incorrect, what they're saying there. If I had a large item to copy, I could show you, but I don't at the moment. And they're right. It does say copy and paste. It does give you that feedback when you press those keys. It does do that.
During testing, we had to call Apple Tech Support. One of the first things required was the system serial number, which was very difficult to find.
difficult to find? Okay. I hadn't even... I had forgotten about that part of the article. Let's just see how difficult let's read the rest of the paragraph here.
Technician did not know how to help a VoiceOver user and could not provide clear instructions. This was another instance in which I was not sure whether I needed to interact with the data in the About This Mac window. I had to use
Learn your OS and you'll know when you have to. The only time you have to interact really is HTML content, a scroll area, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes a table if you want more detail or if you want to read just a column. Other than that, you don't have to interact with things.
Keys, which took a bit of time to figure out.
All right. Retrieving the serial number. Let's do that.
Finder.
Back to the Finder window. Up to the menu bar.
Menu bar. Apple.
About This Mac.
Apple. System profile. Software. Mac. System prep. Docs. Force. Docs. Mac. Soft. System. About This Mac. About This Mac. Login window. Window. About This Mac. Software update button. Processor. 2 GHz Intel. All rights reserved. TM. And more info button.
All right.
1 GB 6
now,
memory.
What we can probably do here.
2 GHz Intel Core.
Is actually pull up the item chooser menu. And I'm wondering if we can just get the serial number that way. The item chooser in VoiceOver, it gathers a list of everything in the window and narrows it down. And let's see if we can do that.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 14 items. All rights reserved.
Okay, we can't get to it that way. Let's just see how hard it is to actually get this.
Version 10.5, software update, but processor, 2 GB memory, 1 GB more info, button.
All
rights are all rights
it's
reserved.
It's not actually in...
more info.
It's not actually in this window. Okay, you click on more info.
What more info button. Press. Finder. Macintosh HD. Selected. System profiler. Window. Microego.
Okay, it pulls up the system profiler, which I probably could have gone to originally, actually. All right, let's see what we've got here now.
Microego. Progress indicate. 6:13, 9:11:13 a.m. Contents. Table. Vertical. Hardware overview. Model name. Mac Mini model identifier. Mac Mini 2. 1 processor name. Intel Core 2 Duo processor speed. 2 GHz number of. Hardware overview. Model hardware overview.
Okay, so it's that
hardware
it's
overview.
That table probably where that's...
Vertical contents table.
Okay.
Contents ADA. Contents audio built-in. Contents Bluetooth. Contents diagnostics. Contents disk burning. Verticals Pioneer DVD. Pioneer DVD.
Okay, so it's a table of everything.
Contents.
And then what it is you read the content next to it to actually...
Content expanded. Contents. Hardware.
To actually...
hardware overview.
Be able
interact
to...
with scroll area.
To read that. Now, let's see if we interact with the scroll area.
Hardware. New lot. Model name. Model like processor name. Int processor speed. Number of total number of core. L2 cap memory. Bus speed. Boot lot. SMC version. Serial number.
There it
system,
is.
System. YM8101HVYL2.
So again...
New line.
Had he known... that scroll areas are something you interact with, that wasn't that hard to get. It's in the system profiler, and it's the first item under, let's see what the content was actually called.
Stop. Contents. Table. One row selected. Expanded. Contents. Hardware.
Hardware. So it's under hardware. It's the first option. Interact with the scroll area, go down to the bottom, and find it. And, I actually... didn't know exactly how to retrieve that myself at this point, but it wasn't that hard to figure out. Just read everything carefully. And again, know your screen reader, know your operating system. Okay, let's go ahead and command Q out of this
Finder,
profiler.
Macintosh WebKit.
And
Safari.
Let's go back to the article, see if there's anything else here. Okay, there's a section here on the calendar, which they say is totally unusable, the iCal and the address book. I've never even tried to use those applications, and I don't really know a lot about them, so I wouldn't really be in a position to really evaluate that as far as that goes. But if anyone has any information on that, certainly let me know. Those kind of applications I don't have enough experience to comment on because I don't use them. So we're down to the summary then, and let's finish this up, and I'll give you my final comments along the way.
Summary. The Apple VoiceOver screen access software does allow blind users to access most applications that ship with the Macintosh OS X Leopard.
And it also allows you to access many third-party applications also, I'll add, and it does it well.
Doing so is extremely keystroke intensive.
Not really. Not a whole lot more than Windows. Interacting with a couple of things, it's not really that much more keystroke intensive, as I've hopefully demonstrated. It's not really that much different. The most you might have is one or two extra keystrokes now and then, but that's it.
Calendaring is impossible with VoiceOver because nothing is spoken automatically. The interact process is both inconsistent and foreign to screen access software users.
Well, it's only foreign to screen access software users if you're comparing it to other screen readers, which you shouldn't even be doing when you're trying to learn an operating system. That's not a good way to do that. And it's not inconsistent if you know, once you learn the operating system and what to interact with and what really doesn't need that. Again, tables, scroll areas, and HTML content. And again, even tables don't always need that. It just depends on how you want to read it. It's a personal preference. So it's not really inconsistent.
It also adds many more keystrokes to an already keystroke-intensive screen reading experience.
Now, that's subjective. Like I say, I don't think it's really that much more than any screen reader. You're going to have to probably use more keystrokes than a sighted person would. So I think that's incorrect.
browsing the internet, and using Mac Help are two of the most cumbersome tasks in VoiceOver, because VoiceOver does not begin to read automatically, and, even after interacting with the HTML content area, one must continuously VO plus right arrow to read even the shortest text between links.
Well, again, VO plus right, you don't have to use that if you use the numpad commander. So if you're going to call pressing a keystroke to move one key to move item by item, if you're going to call that cumbersome, then yeah, then you're probably never going to be happy with using the Mac if that's what you honestly think. Although, a lot of times if you're pressing the down arrow key in Windows to navigate, which you'd have to do anyway, unless you're automatically reading, but if you're looking for a link or, you know, just reading the page in detail, you'd do the same thing. So, not a whole lot of difference.
Last and most important, the training materials provided for VoiceOver should be modified. Background in using OS X is not provided, and settings that make VoiceOver behave better with applications are not provided anywhere. Though we liked the fact that the tutorial for VoiceOver is tightly integrated into the operating system and easy to invoke, we wish it provided more tips on using OS X with VoiceOver as opposed to just highlighting VoiceOver commands and not relating them to the operating system.
Take a look at the chapter that says performing everyday tasks with VoiceOver. There's a whole chapter dedicated to that. And if you look at Chapter 10 of the VoiceOver User's Guide, it talks about the built-in Mac OS X keyboard commands that are available whether or not you're using VoiceOver.
As tasks are undertaken, the screen access software should speak automatically.
That's subjective. If something's speaking automatically, then it's making the decision as to what should be spoken. What if it gets it wrong? Then what do you do? Then you got to deal with customizing the screen reader to work with particular applications and that type of thing. Now, in a lot of cases, it's better to let the user decide what they want to hear and don't make assumptions, because the user is smarter than the computer.
Examples of this are the newly loaded page in Safari and progress messages while the system is working on long tasks.
Now, again, you can read those if you move your cursor to them and ask for them. Oh, I did want to show you one other thing. I did tell you I would do that. The Empowerment Zone page. That's a page that's actually known for being a very long page, and even when it loads into the browser in Windows, it takes it a long time to load into the virtual buffer, as it were. Let me show you how fast that loads on the Mac. That has like 3,000 links on it. Let's do a Command N here to open a new window in this browser.
Top sites, window, okay. Top site, Safari.
Command N.
Empowerment.com.
All right, here we go. I'm going to press Enter now.
Top HTML content.
And it's
interact. Welcome.
Actually, it's already done. It said HTML content. It's done.
Link, sync or swim.
Sync or swim. That's the last link on the page. So that's how long it took to load a page and with like 3,000 links on it. And the whole page is available. We could navigate it, however we wanted to. So that's how long it takes to load a huge page like that into the Mac browser. So again, time to load, it's really not an issue. And even if it's not ready to read yet, if you press the interact key, it just won't, do anything yet. Just try it again in another second because it loads the pages very fast. But that's how long it takes to load the Empowerment Zone web page for those of you that are familiar with that. Okay.
Close.
Let's go ahead and finish this article up here. I think we have one more paragraph.
Though this report is based on Mac OS X 10.5 Leopard, Apple is set to release a new operating system called Snow Leopard sometime this year. Because VoiceOver is a part of the operating system, changes will no doubt be made. We will have to analyze these tasks and the new operating system, its features, and any changes to VoiceOver to evaluate their completion. Ann Taylor, the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute's Director of Access Technology, says, though we appreciate the fact that Apple has included the VoiceOver screen access software as a part of the Mac OS operating system, we cannot at present recommend it as a productivity tool for the blind.
Why not? Because you don't know enough about how to use it, and because you're thinking it should work the same way Windows does? Sorry, not good enough reasons, especially when people are depending on your reviews. And a lot of times people take them as fact, which really they shouldn't do that. I mean, it's always good to do your own evaluations, but still, to say that is just, it's closed-minded, and it's just an overall bad review, in my opinion.
We cannot recommend any tool, even if it is free, if it hampers the productivity of the blind user.
Well, it doesn't if you know your OS and know your screen reader.
If you're curious about the Macintosh.
Okay. The other comments I wanted to put in here are some of the improvements in macOS 10.6. You'll be able to control the voiceover cursor with the touchpad on your laptop if your Mac is a MacBook. You'll be able to actually navigate without using the control option keys if you don't have a numpad on your computer. You'll be able to assign different keys to do different things. You'll be able to actually map your own keys, I think, to different functions with a voiceover, so that'll be nice. It will have the ability to automatically read a web page continuously if you want to do that. It'll have support for new Braille displays and 30 different verbosity options. I believe those are the main things. The other thing I wanted to mention is they don't point out any of the advantages that the Mac OS have with VoiceOver that nothing else really has. For one thing, when you take a Mac out of the box and start up a VoiceOver, it's fully accessible. The setup, it just works, and you have no trouble with it. And also, when you install, if you have to reinstall your Mac operating system, that is fully accessible as well, and with a talking installer, not using a script or something like that that you have to use to install Windows. So when 10.6 does come out later this year, we'll be able to install it and set it up totally with outside help with a talking install that provides speech and Braille. See, none of that was even mentioned. Well, I hope that I've given you a good idea of just how incorrect this review was. Is VoiceOver perfect? No. But what screen reader is? There's always room for improvement. But I hope I have shown you just how wrong and biased this review was. And hopefully I've given you, you know, some ways of how you can actually do things. Again, learn your operating system and learn the screen reader, you know, fully. And don't expect it to behave like something you've already used. Those are the keys. And even I learned something new about those aliases with folders. So it's, you know, it's always a continuous process. But I hope that, you know, I've at least shown you that a lot of the stuff they said in this review was just wrong. And I think, honestly, that I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's to the point that I think the National Federation of the Blind should remove that article from the website, because there is so much misinformation in that article. And when people are reading that and depending on that for recommendations, it's misinformation. A good majority of it is. There were a few things that they said that were correct that, you know, could use some improvement, but not near to the point that they said it was. Well, if you would like to contact me, I'd love to know your view on this podcast or any of my other ones. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. My email address, it's my ham radio call sign, N0OXY at charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. And would love to know your comments or if you have any questions. In the next podcast, number 9, I will show you some other applications with a VoiceOver, instant messaging, the iWork suite, and maybe a couple of other ones also we'll take a look at. So that's something to look forward to for podcast 9. Till then, everyone take care, and definitely, you know, if you're looking for a new computer, I would definitely recommend giving the Mac some very strong consideration, for sure.